This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
The Americans warned by the State Department about traveling to Europe during the holidays over new concerns about terror threats. Kitty Logan is live for us in London with the very latest on this morning. Good morning, Kitty.
Good morning. Well, this is updated advice for Americans traveling to Europe over Christmas. It is similar to previous warnings, but of course some of those warnings have become reality over the past year. Last December, 12 people were killed and more than 50 injured when an extremist drove a truck into a Christmas market in Berlin. Now, this new travel warning says markets like this could be targeted again. It says extremists continue to focus on tourist locations, transportation hubs, markets, shopping malls, and local government facilities as viable targets. In addition, hotels, clubs, restaurants, places of worship, parks, high-profile events, educational institutions, airports, and other soft targets remain priority locations for possible attacks. U.S. citizens should exercise additional vigilance days in these and similar locations. Now, the warning also refers to a New Year's Eve attack on a nightclub in Istanbul last year, which left 39 people dead. It points out that attacks like these have proved difficult to prevent. And here in London and elsewhere in Europe, there have been a series of attacks using vehicles to drive into crowds. So the State Department is urging travellers to keep updated with local information when travelling to crowded areas over Christmas. But here in the UK, the terror threat level remains at severe, the same as it was last year.
Well, a travel warning there overseas, and this holiday, this Thanksgiving, nearly 51 million Americans are expected to be traveling, this according to AAA forecast. It'll be the highest travel volume in a dozen years. Most amazing. Most Americans will journey 50 miles or more away from home this Thanksgiving, a 3.3% increase over last year. The 2017 holiday weekend will see the most Thanksgiving travelers since 2005, with 1.6 million more people taking to the nation's road skies, rails, waterways, compared with last year. So, you know, be safe out there, whether it is that you're traveling overseas or, you know, some staycation, you know, going to grandma's house, make it a safe Thanksgiving journey. You know, make sure everything's all, you know, checked beforehand. All the usual good, reasonable things you're supposed to do before you travel. You know, be prepared for it. And, you know, just take it easy and enjoy the holiday and make it a very safe, safe and special one. So the warnings abound. I mean, it's the season for us, you know, to be traveling out there. So, you know, just take it easy. Well, we appreciate you being with us. We've got more coming up in this final hour to discuss with you. Michael Hansen is going to be joining us here shortly as well. And, you know, and then also we're going to wrap things up with, what do we got? We got Robert Wapples is as well. So, you know, the conversation will continue. Let us know your thoughts. Get involved in the conversation here. You can drop me a line, an email direct at bill@billmartinezlive.com. Michael Hansen, speaking of Europe, we're going to be talking about killing Europe. What's going on? Michael is an independent filmmaker from Denmark who exposed the impending destruction of Europe by Muslim immigration with their left-wing accessories in strong supporting roles to the massive cultural crime through his documentary film Killing Europe. Good stuff, really fascinating stuff that he reveals in this documentary. Michael Hansen will be coming up next. And then we're going to finish up the hour with Robert Wapples. Now, Robert is the editor of Pope Francis and the Caring Society, a research fellow at the Independent Institute and professor of economics at Wake Forest University. His new book, Fake News and Pope Francis. So it's coming up this hour. Thank you for being with us. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at just about 5 minutes after the top of the hour.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look.
It's all about you, as it should be. Why not? 6 minutes after the top of the hour, this is Bill Martinez Live as we continue to pursue the truth no matter where it leads. As I mentioned, Michael Hansen is joining us, independent filmmaker from Denmark, who has exposed the impending destruction of Europe by Muslim immigrants. Michael Hansen, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing terrific. Killing Europe. Why did you feel compelled to produce the movie?
Well, I've been living in the United States for 15 years now, and, you know, I saw all these news of terrorist attacks and the whole debate about if there's no-go zones in Europe or not. You know, obviously a lot of people denied it. So after the specific terrorist attack in Copenhagen, I decided to go back with a camera, basically, and see for myself. Mm-hmm. And what I discovered, you know, shocked me quite a lot because it went well above anything that I had imagined. And then I also decided to go to the rest of Northern Europe.
Mm-hmm. So you decided to go and discover for yourself, setting political correctness aside, pursuing the truth. And as you mentioned the no-go zones, I got in trouble a while ago speaking with a reporter from Paris, France, and made reference to the no-go zones, which, you know, I thought was pretty common, but she had taken grave exception to that, was in denial about it. And I said, look, we have no-go zones, you know, whether you want to call them that or not, here in the United States. I mean, some people know that there's dangerous areas, and it seems like some of these areas that we call no-go zones are becoming more and more obvious and prominent in communities, not only in Europe, but even here in the United States.
Well, I mean, I know for a fact that there was some debate a year or two ago because Fox had made a report about no-go zones in Paris or in France in general, and they objected to it, this whole term no-go zone. And then I know that after Donald Trump, President Trump, he mentioned Sweden, you know, everybody very quickly came out saying, oh, this is not true. Nothing's going on. Nothing to see here. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But then after that, and, you know, I bring this a lot in the movie, that it's all about how you define a no-go zone, because they take it literally as, you know, the military term for a zone where you can't enter.
Right.
But and the Swedish government then put up a website after Donald Trump's comments saying that we don't have no-go zones. We have sensitivity zones. And then we've got some areas that are extra sensitive.
Right.
What that means in translation is that these are areas where if the police goes in, they will be attacked.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can't function. You got these same areas where the post is no longer delivered in some of them because the post delivery trucks get attacked and they can't guarantee for their safeties. Now, what it has to be said is that this is a trend that you see all over Europe and even in peaceful Denmark, because, you know, everybody thinks, oh, Denmark, nothing's going on there. We got Hans Christian Andersen and the mermaid, right?
Yeah.
But we've got no-go zones as well. I mean, and in these areas, some parts in Denmark, you know, even there was an incident where there were some complaints about dogs being killed and so forth. So one of the animal protection agencies went into one of these Arab areas, and he was surrounded and basically kicked out. You know, people who are delivering food for the elderly, their trucks are being attacked. City buses are being attacked. And they're now diverting some of the city buses because they're not going into these areas.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, how do you define a no-go zone? Can the police go in there? Yes, they can. But they have to go in there full force. So
exactly. You may go in, but you may not come out.
Exactly.
Right?
The police needs protection. I mean, for Christ's sake, I think it was a week before that Trump made his statement. There was a place in Sweden near the town of Ringeby, which is a suburb of Stockholm. They sent three police officers to the hospital. You know, you had a mob attacking them, beating them up, and chasing them out of town, basically. And that, you know, anybody who reads local news from the Swedish media can see it happens constantly. It happens in Denmark all the time.
Yeah.
And that's the sad part, is even in Denmark, it's such an frequent occurrence now that it's not even headline news anymore. It's like a side note. Oh, police attack so-and-so, you know. I mean, it's become the norm. And actually, I would say on that note that it's one of the things that actually terrifies me is how quickly Europeans have accepted this new norm. Even terrorism is
yes.
not a big deal anymore in Europe. They've accepted it as part of, I guess, the new multicultural society.
So there's no law enforcement in these areas. They just, you know, with impunity, they're getting away with beating up the police, attacking,
well,
you know. Go ahead.
I mean, it's not like it's you know, a wasteland, you know, post-apocalypse wasteland. The
mm-hmm.
police do go in there, but it's just when they go in there, they have to have, you know, instead of one squad car, they got to come in with three or four or five.
Mm-hmm.
Because if two police officers go in there and they try and arrest somebody, they're going to get attacked. So, but yes, I mean, certain laws are no longer enforced in these areas. You know what I mean? You know,
mm-hmm.
the smaller things are no longer enforced.
So this is a huge surprise for you, Michael. I mean, you suspected that something was not right. And I guess this was quite shocking to actually see that it was actually worse than what you were told.
Exactly. And the thing is that, you know, the no-go zones in France have been a lot in the news. That's no big news. And even we've heard a lot about Sweden, and certainly after President Trump brought attention to it. And I can tell you a lot of Swedes are grateful that he finally brought attention to it, because then they were forced to talk about it.
Right.
But I was surprised of how comprehensive it is all over Europe. I mean, every single European country has these no-go zones, and they all follow the same pattern. You got these areas that are highly, you know, a high amount of Arab immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
I call them immigrants, not refugees, by the way, because they are immigrants.
Right.
And then you got the street gangs who are attacking the police and anybody else. And the street gangs are closely working with the local imams. There's a cooperation, so to speak, between these street gangs and then the radical Muslims and the imams. And what happens is that the street gangs have basically turned into enforcers of Sharia law in these mm-hmm. areas. And the police even say that there are, you know, these areas, there's like a lot of dark numbers, as they call them, because, you know, crime is not reported to the police. You know, things are settled within the community with
exactly.
Sharia code.
Well, that's what, yeah, of course, that's what they would do. The new law of the land is Sharia there. And,
exactly.
By, you know, by default and by, you know, a people group gathering together, you know, as they say, birds of a feather. So you're seeing this as a planned, you know, I don't want to say necessarily attack, but in a sense it is. It's an attack against the established community there.
Well, I mean, I don't know how planned it is, but the thing is that you got to look at it. It's not a coincidence when you see the exact same trends and tendencies all across Europe. It's the same story over and over again. Some countries just have it worse than others, and it's all about numbers, how many Muslims are there. And then you also got to look at for how long have the Muslim community been there.
Mm-hmm.
For most of Northern Europe, that didn't have you know, a colonist past, the Muslim immigration has been around for like 20 to 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when you look at a place like France and England, that's where it's much worse. But in England, which
Michael, we got to go to break. We're going to pick it up from there when we come back. Stay with us. More from Michael after this.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey Guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Google has all but banned the movie series What Would Muhammad Do? It's a brilliant film on the true history and goals of Islam. This is the film Trump's enemies and holdouts from the Obama administration are terrified you will see. Pro-Islamic groups working with Google and other multi-billion dollar corporations have vowed to suppress the distribution of What Would Muhammad Do? When you see it, you'll understand why. Get your copy while you still can. Order the 4-DVD collection today for $39.95 plus shipping and handling. Or go online and download the entire movie series for just $19.95. But wait, for those who order in the next 30 minutes, we'll throw in a 9-part series on the Muslim Brotherhood absolutely free. Go to WWMDfilm.com or call 304-289-3700 now. That's WWMDfilm.com or call 304-289-3700 now.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon, or warm and served. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here.
It's the way you like me, fresh every day. Independence, just the way we are. 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Welcome back, America, as we come at you in over 280 affiliates across this country, around the world via shortwave, and, of course, Red State Talk Radio, the cable radio digital network as well, all over the place just for you, delivering the truth, no matter where it leads. With us, our conversation continues with Michael Hansen. He is an independent filmmaker from Denmark who wanted to pursue the truth and reveal what is happening in Europe with Muslim immigration. What has taken place with all these no-go zones? And, you know, there are people who are politically sensitive to that concept of no-go zones, but call it what it is increasingly dangerous. And, Michael, this documentary that you were compelled to film and present, if you can explain to our audience how it's available on, Vimeo or Amazon Prime right now?
Yes, it's on Vimeo, where you can rent it for $2.99 for a week. Wow. And then, on Amazon, it's on Amazon as well for rent and download. Like, if you got Prime, you can stream it for free. Those are the two ways you can view it at this point.
And a lot that you've been sharing with us, and we're going to talk more about it in detail. It reminds me, when I was in Bible college, I was really, blessed to have an incredible instructor. One of the instructors we had was Chuck Missler, and Chuck's been a dear friend since. And, Chuck is, he's the founder of Koinonia Ministries. He's a businessman. I think that he, was an engineer, so he comes with that engineering mindset, and I always appreciate, was always blessed in his approach to things of the spiritual world, but also as sociologically as to what was happening. And back then, many, many years ago, he talked about, the migration of Muslims into various countries and what would happen at each level of concentration as they were able to get into some of these communities and how it started, that initially they would come in, and just kind of fit in with everybody. But as they got to the point where they started to increase in percentage from 5 to 10%, then more and more of their, Sharia compliancy would come into play, and their resistance to the local community and their insistence that they were going to take over. So it's quite fascinating to see that a lot that he shared with us 20 years ago is still very much applicable today.
Yeah, I mean that's all true. But I think I want to shift gears a little bit because I mean, we can talk all day about, how bad it is in Europe with the no-go zones, with the rape epidemic, that's pretty obvious, and just, near civil war conditions really in Europe. And it is civil war conditions when you think about it, because you have police patrolling the streets in France now. They're now patrolling, and Danish military is guarding the synagogue in Copenhagen. Mm-hmm. It tells you that, and we got these concrete blocks blocking off every walking street, Europe is at a war setting, and I'm just going to be frank saying that there is a civil war going on in Europe. The only difference is that it's only one side who's fighting so far. The other side hasn't woken up to it yet. But but we can talk about that all day long and how bad it is. I think everybody's pretty aware of how bad it is. What I would really want to focus on is that, why it's getting to that point, and more importantly, why are the Muslims being enabled in what they're doing? And I really want to shift focus to the role of the left wing, especially the radical left wing, the media, and the government. So to go back to the no-go zones, something that I discovered when I was in Denmark was that the radical left and these radical Muslims in a lot of these no-go zones, they coexist in these same areas, and they both want the same thing. They want law enforcement out. Mm-hmm. So they're actually colluding with each other. Whenever there's a riot, they're both out there smashing stuff together. You get what I'm saying?
Right, exactly.
And something that I also found interesting was that when I went with these people on a protest in Copenhagen for free speech, it wasn't really so much the Muslims that were trying to attack the protest or anything like that. And we had to be surrounded by literally an army of police officers. You can see it in the movie. Mm-hmm. the ones who really were trying to, like, attack the protesters or anything like that is actually the radical left.
Mm-hmm.
And they're always there. And so there's this collusion between the radical left and the radical Muslims. And the biggest enemies and free speech in Denmark for regular people is actually the radical left, mm-hmm. Ironically. And they're defending this ideology that's anti-feminist, anti-homosexual, a lot of the things you would think the progressive left would be defending, but not in this case.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I want to point out is that in connection with that, that these radical leftists, they're actually funded by the local city councils and government that are in the areas where they have some left-wing political parties that is in the majority. So they're actually funneling money to these radical left to do the work they're doing. That's the truth in Sweden, in Denmark, and in Germany.
Mm.
I think that's one of the bigger problems going on in Europe is not even the Muslim migration, because that wouldn't be a problem if it wasn't being enabled by the left-wing political parties.
Exactly. Well, what you're sharing with us, Michael, is the same thing that's happening here in the United States. And what they've done is they've not only have they come to the country, I'm talking about, you know, the migration of this
exactly.
culture that's impacting. But what they've been able to do is infiltrate the very government that is controlling. And they're doing the same thing in Europe as well. So this is why I'm saying it's a lot more planned. Planned out than we realize. I don't think it's just happenstance. I think the opportunity is such that it is kind of opened up. I mean, we have this globalist mindset, and we think that we need to operate without boundaries and without checking, you know, things that we've learned from the, you know, very initial days of humanity and society is saying, you know, are you friend or foe?
Well, I mean, to put it in plain text, so to speak, and this is also why initially, you know, my reason for making this movie was not for the Europeans. It was actually for the American audience to see what's going on in Europe. You know, what are the consequences of the policies that they're doing in Europe, and to kind of like serve as a warning, not to do the same in the United States.
Mm.
And when you think about it, like you bring it up, I wanted to bring it on to that topic is that both in Europe and United States, it's very similar. The only difference is that Europe is about 15, 20 years ahead of us, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And also when we talk about numbers. But what you see both in Europe and the United States is that you have the left wing, you know, they are motivated to bring in millions upon millions of people from the third world because that's going to serve as a new voting base.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why they want this population shift is because, or exchange, I would rather say, is because they're old. Voting base, which was, as we can call it, the proletarian, the working class,
mm-hmm.
they stopped voting for them, so they got to have a new voting base. You get what I'm saying?
Good point.
And not only that, then on the other hand, you got the big corporations that basically want to import cheap labor. So you got this dual axis of evil, if I want to call it that, of the liberals / left wingers, and then you got the corporate interest on the other side. And this is where you really got to look at then, you know, what is motivating the European government and shall we say the Democratic government, and I would say part of the establishment here in the U.S. of the Republican Party. Because it's really something I think that Americans really need to start paying attention to. You know, what is the Democratic Party doing? What is their motivation? Why are they pushing it?
Exactly.
And also, they really
well, Michael, I'm sorry, we've got to call it here because we're time to wrap. Killing Europe, available on Vimeo or Amazon Prime. Michael Hansen has been our guest with a warning to we the people. Michael, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
No problem.
This report is brought to you by the National Safety Council. According to a National Safety Council poll, approximately 1 in 4 Americans has been directly affected by the opioid crisis. They may know someone who has overdosed, someone who is addicted, or they may have become addicted themselves. The National Safety Council has launched the Stop Everyday Killers campaign nationwide to literally illustrate the faces behind the numbers. The campaign includes a memorial wall made of pills, individually hand-carved with the faces of the 22,000 people lost last year to prescription opioid overdose. The memorial will travel across the country in the coming months. The campaign also seeks to educate about the scope of the problem and promote proven solutions. Deborah Herzman, President and CEO of the National Safety Council.
The opioid crisis is the most fatal drug epidemic in recorded U.S. history. It claims a life every 24 minutes. The Stop Everyday Killers campaign will play a critical role in shifting the national attitude about opioid painkillers while simultaneously prompting visitors to take life-saving actions.
To learn more, visit StopEverydayKillers.org.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-610-7740. That's 800-610-7740. 800-610-7740.
Have you ever lost your power and wanted to simply flip a switch to get the lights back on? If so, pay close attention because huge discounts are now available in solar generators. Perfect for backup power outages and emergencies. Portable solar generators provide life-saving electrical power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, a solar generator runs quietly, emits no dangerous fumes, and produces an endless supply of electricity from the sun. It's like having an electric power plant running secretly in your own home. Right now, get a $5,000 solar generator for just $995 while supplies last. Go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more. That's mysolarbackup.com. GCN listeners, use coupon code GCN at checkout for this special offer. mysolarbackup.com. Use coupon code GCN. EMP protection available at an additional charge.
To Oregon and SoCal to Florida. Bill Martinez live. Open the
We're back with the America 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Robert Waples joins us now, the editor of Pope Francis and the Caring Society, research fellow at the Independent Institute and professor of economics at Wake Forest University. Professor, good to have you with us here. I'm Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Thanks for having me on.
Doing well, great. we want to talk about your new book, Pope Francis and the Caring Society. Give us a quick summary. What's it about?
Yeah, so the book is kind of designed to continue Pope Francis's call for dialogue mm-hmm. on the issues that he focused on in his encyclical Laudato Si.
Mm-hmm.
I know probably a lot of your listeners are familiar with that one. Its subtitle is On the Care of Our Common Home,
mm-hmm.
and it focuses on the environment, but as much also on the economy and on the poor and on the rich. And I guess if there's a bottom line to the essays in the book, it's that the findings of economists can do a lot to help us solve some of those problems. If we devise our institutions correctly, we can, help wipe out poverty, but also actually help the environment at the same time.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I appreciate, these essays. Basically, they were essays from professors, academics, and economists mm-hmm. like yourself. Explaining these critical topics of our time, as you say, the environment, capitalism, the family, property rights, and markets, for the greater good of all concerned, right?
Yeah, exactly the goal.
Mm-hmm. And go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and so there's one thing that I think that is crucial to the encyclical and the dialogue that we would be having with the Pope, should we get his ear, but the dialogue that I could have with you or any of the listeners could have with their neighbors. And I guess it's the point that the Pope makes in the encyclical. He says this, business is a noble vocation, mm-hmm. directed to producing wealth and improving our world. It can be fruitful, a fruitful source of prosperity for the areas where it operates, especially if it sees the creation of jobs as an essential part of its service to the common good, and the broader objective of helping the poor should always be to allow them to lead a more dignified life. Mm-hmm. But the Pope's not saying that capitalism is great or that it's bad, but that it's got potential, right? That if we organize things right, so that in the process of everybody going around doing their business, trying to earn some profit for themselves, they can also end up serving, you know, all of mankind in the process.
And for me, beyond the profit, and more importantly, it's the idea that people are doing what God has designed them mm-hmm. to do, and which leads to fulfillment and true happiness ultimately. You know, if you're about you know, the Father's work, it is win-win for all concerned. And you know, when you look at you know, people and the jobs that they do, I guess according to one of the latest labor statistics that I was reading, was that probably about 10% of people in the workforce are somewhat fulfilled and happy about what they're doing. So, I mean, it's kind of, you know, shocking when you think 9 out of 10 people aren't really happy out there doing the work that they're doing.
It may depend on the way that you word that question, because I've seen other ones where most people go, yeah, actually, I might find my job pretty enjoyable.
Right.
You know, especially because think how our jobs have changed. Mm-hmm. They have changed over the last century from being, you know, kind of brute kind of jobs, a lot of them, right? In noisy environments where you were making a good, or maybe you were out doing something in agriculture. And most of our jobs now are in the service sector, where there's another person, and you're serving that person. It's a personal interaction. And so in the process of, you know, striking a bargain with them where you're doing something that makes them better off, they're making you better off, but you're also having that human encounter that the Pope talks about so much.
Exactly. And that in itself is very invigorating when you find yourself in a position, an opportunity of servanthood, right?
Yep, that's exactly right.
Let's talk about the environment. Okay, I want to talk about the environment here because the Pope has chimed in, got a lot of criticism on mm-hmm. that. I want to give you an opportunity to clear that up.
Yeah, if you read the encyclical, there are some passages where, you know, the environment is beginning to look like a gigantic pile of filth, or some wording to that effect, where if you read them, I read them as being kind of hyperbolic, right? It's hyperbole to get people's attention, to make sure that we just don't ignore the actual problems that we have with the environment. If you look at some clear indicators of the environment, like pollution levels, water pollution, air pollution around the world, what you'll see is that there's this general pattern that economists call the environmental Kuznets curve. And that says that as an economy begins to develop, producing more and more per worker, we do emit more pollution. But it then reaches a peak and starts to get down once you are wealthy enough to afford like the newer technologies that make things cleaner, but also to afford to spend a little bit of extra money to do things that are going to make things cleaner, like not using coal, but using natural gas, for example. Mm-hmm. So for just about every pollutant, the United States is far down the other side of that environmental Kuznets curve. Mm-hmm. We have a pretty darn clean environment. If you're my age, I'm in my mid-50s. Mm-hmm. You can just breathe the air, and it's so much cleaner. You can feel it.
I grew up in Southern California. I remember the days when our traveling baseball teams would have to take oxygen tanks with us when we went into Los Angeles because of the smog levels.
Yeah, the catalytic converter and various other inventions, things that we could begin to afford. Just now, there's other countries that are still in the zone where it's very dirty, but even a country like China, that, you know, is proverbial for the bad air, and you've seen pictures of this.
Right.
They have actually begun to improve their air quality in the last decade or so. And so it's maybe a rough path to get to that cleaner, but a growing economy in the long run is going to get you that cleaner environment in very measurable ways. And so I think maybe there's maybe a little bit of an overstatement or a little bit too much of a pessimism on some of the environmental facts that you'll see in the encyclical.
Yeah, I think that the part of the challenge that we have here in America, I mean, it's almost like we are what, reformed alcoholics or something? I know we've gone through it, and so now it's like anybody around us that thinks of picking up a beer, we go, well, we freak out over that.
That may be an excellent analogy there.
Yeah. I mean, you know, as opposed to realizing that, look, we all, as you say, go through this learning curve. And experience is very powerful, and yes, we want to be able to help people and make it a little bit easier. But
and
sometimes,
one thing about that learning curve, if you look actually at the peak levels, they come down. So over time, we've developed this technology to help reduce the pollution levels, and then since we have, other poorer countries can afford to get those at much earlier stages in their development than we ever did.
Exactly.
So,
I hope people understand here, just because we say that this is going to be the natural course of events, we have to go through the learning curve, it's inevitable, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't talk about it. Because talking about it, just like, you know, the people in Southern California talking when they could, in between choking on the bad air, kept the focus on the politicians and the manufacturers to do something about it.
Yeah. And so, you know, what an economist would say is the key to this whole problem is that you got to make the polluter pay. You're going to abuse whatever resource it is when nobody owns it. You treat your own private property a lot different than commonly owned or unowned property. Mm-hmm. And that goes for the air as well, the sky. If you just have the right or think you have the right to put as much junk into the air as you want and nobody stops you from doing it, of course the air is going to get really, really dirty.
Sure, absolutely.
So what economists generally push, and which we've seen implemented in lots of countries, is that you have to make the polluter pay. They've got to bear these costs. But it's important, like, who is the polluter when you think about it?
Right.
So in Southern California, it was you were the polluter.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Me, right?
Yes,
it was
right.
Coming out of your tailpipe, right? And so, it's not just the electric utility that's burning the coal or whatever. You're using the electricity. And so if you put a tax or something in place like that, the customer is going to have to pay more. We've got to realize that.
Yeah. It is shared responsibility, no doubt about it. Pope Francis and the Caring Society. Our conversation with Professor Robert Wables continues. Stay with us, America. Just about 18 minutes before the top of the hour right now.
Hey there. Did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you could make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? It's true. According to the 2012 U.S. Census Bureau, college grads with a bachelor's degree make almost twice as much as high school grads. Now, going back to school is easier than ever at Independence University. Log on and complete coursework from the park, or the beach, or even your couch watching the kids. And Independence University gives you the tools, a free tablet and laptop for undergrad students to use and keep when they graduate. That's right. Get a laptop so you can go to college from anywhere. Take the first step to a new career in business, information technology, healthcare, or graphic arts. Call to find the online degree program that's right for you, and you could be on your way to increasing your earning potential.
800-981-9347. 800-981-9347. That's 800-981-9347.
Attention to anybody of any age who takes any prescription medications. How would you like to save up to 85% on almost every prescription drug you're currently buying at your local pharmacy? We're talking about saving you real money on most of the top prescription drugs. Up to 85% savings. Asthma medications, you can save up to 85%. High cholesterol and high blood pressure meds, save up to 85%. And many, many more. This is not a hard-to-use discount card. These are real savings on prescription meds delivered to your door in days. We have expert prescription consultants to help you right now. It's a free service. So call now and learn how you can save up to 85% on most prescription drugs.
Call now, 800-362-9337, 800-362-9337, 800-362-9337. That's 800-362-9337.
Hello, Mr. Anderson. The NSA has noticed how much time you spend on conservative news sites. We have no choice but to consider you a domestic terrorist.
Tired of your internet activity being monitored by Big Brother? Get VirtualShield.com, the world's easiest-to-use virtual private network. Browse the web anonymously, leaving pesky advertisers and spies in the dust. Get started today at VirtualShield.com. Take advantage of our free 30-day trial. VirtualShield.com. You have the right to remain private.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-557-0158. That's 800-557-0158. Again, 800-557-0158.
Many medicines used to treat colds and flu contain acetaminophen, a pain reliever and fever reducer found in hundreds of over-the-counter and prescription medicines. But taking too much or more than one medication containing acetaminophen per day can damage your liver. So always read the label and don't take acetaminophen if you drink three or more alcoholic drinks every day. To learn more, visit fda.gov/OTC pain info. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Food and Drug Administration.
We don't see color here. We just love America.
Where this hurt is, you show me what healing can do. Where this hatred, you show me how kindness can move. Where this fear deep inside, I won't run, I won't hide. I'll give you all of me so that you can see every broken piece. And you open your mind.
Bill Martinez live.
Hey, we're back with you, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour, talking about this new book that addresses fake news and Pope Francis with the release of his second encyclical, Laudato Si. Pope Francis asked for a dialogue on the environment, economy, and charity. Now, I want you to understand, the Pope asked for a dialogue. Wasn't that he was dictating stuff here, okay? Yes, he gave you an insight in terms of his heart and what he was sharing. And the new book, Pope Francis and the Caring Society, is providing that needed dialogue, or at least a vehicle to keep the conversation going. Right, Robert?
Yes, I think that's exactly right. And so if I were to step into the Pope's shoes and say something that he thinks is very important, but we just don't hear a lot about, is that, well, you know, our economic growth we've seen has eliminated poverty around the world. It can have too much of a good thing, right? And so he says at some points that, you know, possessions are a dangerous thing. Mm-hmm. Our market tends to promote extreme consumerism, and people can just get caught up in what he calls the whirlwind of needless buying and spending. Mm-hmm. And so he's especially pointing to us in rich countries.
Right.
That, like, we're overdoing it.
Mm-hmm. No, I think the point definitely is well taken. And like anything that is put out there one time, I mean, the responsibility falls upon, you know, people as yourself and all of us to take what the Pope has to say, because, you know, sometimes, you know, after the Pope first came out with Laudato Si, there was some minor conversation about it. This is why I appreciate the hard work that you've been able to put into this book, because it does forward the conversation. It, you know, we're not relying on pundits, and sometimes it's bothersome when I hear people commenting on things of a spiritual nature when they seem so far from an understanding of what it is.
Yeah, you know, I think that's something that people who just are complete materialists don't get. And I've had conversations like this with my students in lots of classes. I teach an environmental and natural resource class. I teach a current economic issues class. And sometimes I'll make points like the one I just made with you that, you know, you could be too rich. You could have too much. And I just get sometimes blank stares. I'm like, explain to me, you know, explain that to me again. I just don't get it. What do you mean?
I'm like, I'm going to be $100,000 in debt after this class. And you tell me, right.
That's true. But, you know, what the Pope is emphasizing here is that is all these so many of these material things that we consume and have too much, you know, go look in your attic or your basement and you see all this stuff that you don't need, that it's just, these are lesser lights and they're distracting us from the true light. And so to me, this is going to be one of the biggest problems we have as a society going forward. We already have, most of us, enough or too much stuff, and we got to learn how to not let that distract us.
Yeah. We're renting storage facilities, for goodness sakes.
Yeah.
How much money do we spend in storage facilities?
Yeah.
And the stuff will sit there for, you know, for years. We haven't touched it, but it's our stuff, and we're paying the rent on it.
And then there's just, you know, buying and throwing away as well. So if we don't store it, you know, I got to have the latest one of these. My old phone's still perfectly good, whatever,
right.
But
exactly.
I got one that's even better.
Yeah. So. Yeah, to my own self-adulation, I'm proud of myself because I'm happy with the 6S. I'm not, you know, the 6S iPhone, that's working very effectively for me. It's fine. I don't need to go and, you know, spend, you know, the $1,000 on the new X one, you know, and that's, what, two or three generations beyond what I have right now. And to your point, it works. You know, I'm okay. I'm happy. It's doing the job for me.
I'm actually very... very retro. I don't have a cell phone.
Oh, you don't have a cell phone. Well, good for you.
How is that possible?
Yes, right.
Yeah.
Well, the good thing is that you don't have to worry about the intrusion of the ring, you know. I mean, it was bad enough there for a while when we had pagers, right? People thought, well, I paged you, you know, why didn't you get back to me, you know?
Yeah.
But I kind of like, what was it, one of the founders of... Rich DeVos of Amway, he used to talk about returning every phone call. He says, I'm real faithful. You know, people call me, I return the phone calls. And sometimes it'll take me a little bit, but I do. I'm faithful to return phone calls. And he says, one time I did, you know, return one, and it took me a couple of weeks, and the guy was a little miffed. He goes, wow, you know, it's been 2 weeks. I've been waiting for your phone call. He goes, look, I didn't ask you to call me in the first place, you know. He put those things into perspective, you know. It's all about balance. The Pope also addressed, Robert, the family. That's an important issue for many of us. Let's address that.
And so, you know, this, I think, there were a lot of, you know, people who are not Christian, not religious, who were reading this encyclical, and they were going like, yeah, you tell him, you got it right, okay? And then they get to his teaching on the family, and they go, what? Okay, because it's the traditional Catholic teaching on the family.
Right.
It is, for example, that, you know, God made men to be men and women to be women and didn't make them to be interchangeable, and they have roles that are important for, you know, creating and nurturing the next generation. Those very traditional teachings that are hard sells in some audience, unfortunately, these days.
Right.
But what he says there, when it especially comes to population growth, he doesn't say what your typical, secular environmentalist says, which is, we've got too many people on this planet. We need fewer of them. None of that Paul Ehrlich kind of stuff. No.
Right.
It's the traditional Catholic teaching that's grounded in all sorts of previous encyclicals, like Humanae Vitae, you know, that this is a purpose of us being here on Earth.
Exactly.
More people, think about it from God.
Yeah, God said be fruitful, multiply,
said,
right?
You know?
Yeah.
He wants more souls up, up with him eventually, not fewer. So, yeah.
Well, and the responsibility of the family unit to society, and why God desires a godly society, one that is responsible and understanding, you know, the laws that have been well established, as he, you know, said very succinctly, one of my favorite lines in the Old Testament, to Cain, if you do right, will it not go well for you? That is something that echoes through the millennia. We want to do it right according to our own eyes, as pronounced in the book of Judges, and look at the problems we've got, and I say, okay, how's that working for you? And especially today in a modern America that's becoming more and more secularized, which was brought out even more so in a recent Gallup poll, I say recent from last year, where, you know, secular America was saying, hey, where are the people of faith? We're getting this wrong. We need them to be involved in the conversation.
Yeah.
And we're saying, hey, look, you told us to shut up and mind our own business, and now you keep running the car in the ditch, and you're saying, you know, can you take over for a little bit here?
Mm-hmm. So there's one... homily of the Pope's. I enjoyed, in preparing this work, not reading only his, encyclicals and stuff. But going back and reading the summaries they had on the Vatican website of the homilies he gave, where you can see him as a parish, pastor, right there.
As a shepherd.
Each in his own flock,
sure. Exactly.
Right. And so one of them, it's a conversation he recreates that a husband and wife are having about a decision of whether they should have another child, which goes something along these lines. Like, no, we just can't have another kid. Because if we do, we won't be able to take a vacation. We won't be able to afford this. We won't be able... And the Pope is just pointing out the trade-offs that do exist and saying, we're making the wrong choice on this trade-off.
Right.
Think how much more valuable that wonderful child is going to be than you going on some vacation to some resort, you know?
Like as if there's some sort of equanimity between the two. A child or no child. I mean, you know, and we're bringing that up, and you're going, wait a minute. The last time I read in the Bible wasn't that, God said that a vacation was a blessing from, from God, right?
Uh-huh.
So somehow we've missed the hierarchical premise of it all.
Yeah.
Kind of amazing. We're a silly bunch, aren't we, when we think about it? And, you know, going back to what you were mentioning earlier, I'm in California these days. I'm heading back to Florida, where I'm based out of. But I was born and raised in California, and of course the governor decided that God had it wrong when he created a male and female. He offered a third gender option, and I said, well, I don't understand why he stopped there, because so many of the California universities are offering as many as, I think 26 at last count, gender options. I mean, we have really have become unwound in this whole process, haven't we?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many ways in which we, and of course, we're all fallen people.
Yes.
And so, and that's what just comes out so clearly in reading the encyclical, that's what the church has a grasp of, that we are a fallen people. And so, we often make these mistakes. Now, what our book tries to do is then point out some findings that economists have made so that we don't have to always make the same mistakes. And so it's not on moral issues that the economists are going to be able to sort anything out. But, it's on things about how to use our resources wisely. And so let me give you a really powerful example that one of the authors...
Okay, we got about a minute left here. Yes, okay.
I think I can do it in about a minute.
Okay, excellent.
So you're looking at the island of Hispaniola that's got Haiti on one end and the Dominican Republic on the other. And what you'll notice is that one end is like a lot of trees, the other is like totally none.
Exactly.
Right? And it all has to do with the property rights. In one end of the island, in Haiti, there just have not been secure property rights. You own your land, and you don't really own it, because the government or their friends can come on and loot it whenever you want.
Right.
So you just cut your trees down before anybody else is going to get them.
Right.
And then everything erodes, and it's just, right, you don't husband your resources. On the other side of the island, you got the secure property rights. Your trees actually grow. And so there's a way that we can fix the environment and help fix poverty, by just using some simpler, more common sense rule.
Without a doubt, we got to keep the conversation going. And Pope Francis and the Caring Society is very helpful to that end. Professor Robert Waples has been our guest on Bill Martinez Live. Professor, thank you so much.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. CalBend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. If you were